We're joined now by the head coach of those Central High Tigers, Scooter Register. Coach, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. Rough Friday night this past Friday night?
Well, it was. Went to Jonesboro, and we knew going in that Jonesboro is a very talented football team. And we had a couple of injuries. Probably our best defensive player, we knew he wasn't going to play. And then, of course, our quarterback went down late in the first quarter and didn't get to come back in. We lost our fullback in the second quarter. So, you know, it was just one of those nights. We made a lot of mistakes, and, we really didn't handle adversity very well, especially when Cooper goes out, Cooper Westbrook, the quarterback. And, you know, he's actually the two-year starter, and he's just a junior. He's played every game last year as a sophomore. So, you know, I think that had a little bit of effect on it. But, I'm not taking anything away from Jonesboro. They played well, and we just didn't recover from that.
And you're 3-2 heading into a game against West Memphis. The conference race is getting tight.
Well, it is. You know, Cabot stands alone at 2-0, and then there's five or six of us that are 1-1, and then got a couple that are winless in the conference. So it's pretty congested right in the middle. So a lot of those 1-1 teams play each other this week. Of course, West Memphis is 1-1. We are. So it's a big game. I mean, you know, we got to try to find a way to get back under that W column this week.
And Matt, that conference is pretty much a murderer's row, if you will. I mean, you got North Little Rock in there, Cabot. Like Coach talked, they haven't played Cabot yet. They get Cabot in 2 weeks, a week from Friday, and that's going to be the high school football game of the week, driven by Fletcher Kia that night. So RJ and Bob will make their way to Cabot and have a good call for that.
Coach,
one.
Coach, does the football conference, is it the same way basketball is, where 6A will play 7A, but then once you get to the playoffs, it could be totally different? Are you in favor of that?
Not at all. I mean, we're in a blended, what they call a blended conference. We've got four 6A schools and four 7A schools. At the end of the season, they'll take the four 7A schools, and then we'll be placed with the four 7A schools in the Central Conference, and then we'll be seated for the playoffs. You know, back when you were playing, it was top 32.
Right.
And to me, that's the only fair way to do it. Because
I'm with you. I agree with you.
Because, yeah, you got 16 teams, and it's kind of watered down. I guess that's the right word to use. But, you know, if you got 32 teams, you got four coming from each conference, you have a perfect bracket. And
conference means something.
It does.
It seems now that, and we got in this with, was it a basketball team that didn't win a conference game?
It was basketball when the fair girls, and I'm all for teams getting the chance to play. But if you can't win a single game, sorry, Muskie Harris joins us now too.
Hello, fans.
If you can't win a single game, you don't need to be playing in the state playoffs. You don't need to go to your conference tournament. You don't need to.
And you don't deserve
to be there. And then you get – you waste money, taxpayer money, to put them on a bus to drive 2.5, 3 hours to Greenwood and back. I mean, come on.
It's watered down.
And
what
was the reward for what – you accomplished during the season?
They didn't accomplish anything in the season.
Right. It's not fifth
basically
grade.
You're rewarding failures, what you're doing.
Exactly. You're saying everybody deserves a trophy. Let's give them all one. I mean, I can understand that until they're about 10 years old or 11 or 12.
Yes.
But after that, it's time to,
it's business, win or lose. Total agreement with that.
You got to understand what it means to lose a little bit in life, because sometimes you're going to get knocked down a little bit, just like
that's
the Razorbacks
get up. Yeah.
This weekend. Three-game losing streak right now. I know you watched the game, Muskie.
Right.
You watched the game, Matt. You watched the game. We haven't talked about it yet, but it looked like they played good for a quarter.
Yeah,
but it's a four-quarter game.
I know.
And been there. We lost three in a row at Fayetteville, and your intestinal fortitude is challenged. And that's what come forward that, okay, this is part of the game. Let me play as a team and keep playing as a team. And then next year we came back and we won a little bit better. But if you're playing in a team sport, you're going to go through this.
And they're young. They're so young. And we had Coach Nutt on earlier this year, and he said a good team plays about four or five freshmen. You know, in my 4 years there was only one true freshman that came up and was just dominant. That's Sean Andrews.
Matt, it was 13 of us when I got to
that's what I'm saying.
You'll
be better in years to come. But that year that you have all freshmen,
yes,
don't expect too much, because freshmen are going to make freshman
six.
Mistakes. You got to grow up. But, yeah. And if you can wait 2 years down the road, you're going to be good.
Exactly.
Well, see, you know, we understand that, but the general public doesn't, because all they get is this information from, and I'm not including y'all in this, but the media, they hype all this up. And I think we knew going in the Razorbacks were going to be young. and you know, they were going to take some lumps. Now, you know, at times they play well, and he wants to run the football, and that's his style of football. And in a year or two, or maybe down the road, you know, it's going to be a lot better.
I agree with you, and we got calls even before the season started. Hey, what do you think? What do you think? We hadn't seen them. You know, he shut off practice and everything. I mean, there was one scrimmage that was open before the first game, and that's all the media knew. So there really wasn't anything to go by. If I wanted to come watch you practice, you're going to let me in. I can go watch you practice.
That's right.
Now, you might kick me out if you start doing some kind of crazy stuff that you don't want us to see if we're going to do a Bryant Central game or Bryant Cabot game or whatever it be that week. But, I mean, we're not going to share it with anybody, but we have that relationship. He's trying to build that relationship with his players first, and I can understand that. But you need to let the media in a little bit so that they can help hype your program up. He told he told us, or someone told me, after the game against A&M, the reason he tweeted out Friday night that Brandon Allen was going to play is because, Coach, someone got to him and said, you might get a couple more people to come into the stands if they know that Brandon Allen's going to be playing as opposed to A.J. Derby.
And it was a sellout.
And it was a sellout, but they still might have come.
Right.
You know, and so, okay, if we can get in there and we can see that, whoa, Alex Collins is the real deal, who knows how many more tickets that might help sell. But it might. You never know.
Well, and you don't want to – you don't want to hype them up to mislead the public. But I think me and you both said 6-6 is what we thought. 6-6 if they start 4-0. You know, and a lot of people call it, you know, they're going to win 8, 9, 10 games. Well, they're too young. We were just talking. When you got all the freshmen, you're just not going to win 9 games with all those freshmen playing.
I said 3-9 from the start, and I'm still holding by it. We're just – going through adversity and new players and inexperience.
Well, if 3-9 ends up being the record this year, I know one man across the river that owns Fletcher Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram that is going to give away a new car every month. One car each month next year. Right. He's already made that bet that Arkansas would win an SEC game.
Well,
they're 0-2 right now.
It don't get any easier the next 2 weeks.
No, it doesn't.
You don't have – and we don't know about Jadeveon Clowney. Let's say that. I mean, he might not play.
What about Brandon Allen, our quarterback, our most experienced?
His shoulder is fine. His shoulder is fine, but Brett Bielema said today, and we'll have Mike Jocks on of KHBS 4029 a little bit later. He was in attendance at Brett Bielema's press conference today, that the shoulder is stronger than it's ever been. But
mentally,
he got rattled.
Yes.
And they have to find blocking schemes to where they can keep him off the turf.
Yes.
A couple mis-executed plays. The wheel route, I believe, was it late in the second quarter, early in the third, where he just throws it behind him, incomplete. I mean,
yeah,
he was wide open.
Carroll Small was out there wide open.
Yeah. And then the rule, y'all might have to explain this to me, but a punter – a punt returner, when the ball hits his hands, if it bounces off of him up into the air
–
That's how I read the rule. That when you have a chance to catch it, he had a chance to catch it. But once it touches your hands and pops up,
it went into the other man's hand.
You can go and get it. It's a free ball.
Yes.
But
nope.
I thought that was a bad call.
Supposed to have the chance to go catch that fumble.
Apparently, there's a lot of gray areas in some of these rules and interpretations that we see.
Well,
why do they end up in the Arkansas game?
Well, and as soon as it happened, everybody thought back to 2009, the last time Arkansas was down there, and how the officials helped sustain a drive for Florida that was the go-ahead score, or the tying score, because Arkansas had a chance. If Tejada kicks a field goal late in the game with about 3.5 minutes to go, it would have been 23-20 Arkansas, with Florida having a drive to even try to send it to overtime or what have you. But I looked immediately, and there's a college football rules expert that tweeted out that you have to give him a yard in front of him. No. Both of those players were beside him.
Yeah.
He had plenty of room in front of him. He had 10, 15, 20 yards in front of him, but they were beside him. So if Matt is receiving the catch and the ball hits off his shoulder pad and I'm standing about 3 feet to his right and it bounces right into my hand.
Should be your ball.
Yeah. I'm supposed to just let it drop and hit the turf?
No.
And then it's a muff? Because he has the chance to catch it. What if it hits his shoulder pad, then he runs over it, it hits off his helmet, he runs over it again and catches it, but yet there's someone there to run into. You throw the flag again?
Of the rules,
right.
And they get cloudy when we play. you know, just think about it. It's always that Arkansas game that this interpretation is interpreted.
Well, and I think it's Arkansas fans that just all of a sudden think that, okay, well, we were one of the last teams, well, before A&M and Missouri, two of the last teams in the league, we're always going to get the short end of the stick.
Well, and that's not the play that kills us the most as far
no,
as
it's not.
That hurts, but two turnovers, we didn't cause any turnovers. We had eight penalties. I know that was something that Coach was talking about. We had to cut down on our penalties. You got to cut down. You can't have eight penalties and two turnovers and not cause any turnovers and expect to win the game.
Coach, when you're out there on the field and you have a sudden change of momentum like that, let's say that your quarterback throws a pick six. What do you try to tell your team when they come over to the sideline after a crucial play like that?
Well, I mean, you got to get them together, and you've got to just tell them you got to forget about it and go and get ready for the next series, and you hope your defense is going to go out there and get a stop for you. You just can't, and Matt will test this, Muskie too. I mean, you got to go the next play. You got to forget about it, and
short memory,
and get on with it. And you know, you got a little time if you turn it over to get your offense recouped and get ready to go for the next series. So. You know, we've got a pretty good staff, and they deal with that pretty well. And it's just it's all mental. But you know, sometimes high school players are a little bit more fragile than these college players.
Well, and it's a team game.
It is.
And I know when we play high school and college and NFL, if a person jumps off sides, the whole team runs. You know. So it's not just because the quarterback throws a pick
right. Six;
it's just his fault. It's a team sport.
That's right.
Got to be accountable for everybody.
Yep. That's right. That's exactly right.
And Trey alluding to last, Coach saying you can go and get in that player's face and you can, you know, he can fragilely just fall apart on you.
You got to know the different types of players that you have on your team
you
and how they're going to react.
Different, right?
That's
I mean,
right.
You can't coach every player.
Everybody's
the same,
different. That's right. That's exactly
but
right.
But if players see, well, he got on the quarterback hard, well, he'll get on me hard too. But if you don't get on the quarterback, well, I can come off the field and jump outside and a flagrant penalty, and he won't confront me.
And we've heard this, and I don't know if this is true, and you can help explain it, that if your best player is your hardest worker and you can get on him a little bit,
Yes. Doesn't
your team usually have a little more success?
That's right.
You've got to be able to get on your best player, and if he is the guy that stays late, shows up early, everybody sees that because he's the leader.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, if you got to be consistent. If you're not consistent, you know, with your discipline and everything, then, you know, kids see right through that.
What did Jimmy Johnson say, that he's going to coach them all hard, but he's not going to treat them all fair or something?
Right.
Well,
yeah,
he's going to treat them all fair but not coach them the same or something. That was
I thought that was
pretty funny.
1-800-477-1037, 433-1037. We've got a couple of callers. Let's head to the phones. I still want to talk to Scooter. He's got a good story to tell about you, Matt, a little bit later. But let's go to Brian in Malvern. Brian, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Talent aside, I thought that judging by Brandon Allen's body language in the third quarter with his head down, his shoulders slumped, the slow way he walked around on the field, I really kind of thought at that point that he probably should have been pulled out of the game, because the series that A.J. Derby was in there, he ran into the huddle, he clapped his hands, the guys showed a little bit more spark. The series he was in there, and then they brought Brandon back, and I just think that at that point he was ineffective for that game. I'm not saying bench him for the season, but at that point in the game, I did not think that his leadership was in a situation where he could really do a whole lot for the team there. And, you know, I just wondered if that's ever a consideration where, okay, my main guy, you know, is not at a point where he can lead the team. I need to get him out of there and get somebody else in at camp.
All right, Brian, thanks. We'll have we'll let Matt, the coach, answer.
Yeah,
thanks.
Coach, because I've never been a coach before, but when your quarterback, if he has more talent than the backup guy, you put your best guys out there on the field. I mean, if he's getting hit and beat up, I didn't see that from him where he was down or wasn't still competing. I guess if a guy quits competing and just kind of quits on you, you have to, but maybe if you've had a situation like that, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to go with the guy. I think, I watched the game. I didn't think that he was at a point where they needed to take him out. You know, there's been times, you know, when I've been coaching that, and I remember there's Coach Fogelman, who's over at Catholic now. We were at El Dorado, and we were kind of and he was my quarterback coach, and I was upset with the quarterback, and I went down, and I said, Coach, we got to get him out. And he said, no, Coach, leave him in there. It'll be all right. And, you know, I remember him telling me that, and, you know, it did work out. You know, sometimes I think you got to listen to your – you got to listen to your assistants, and I'm sure
they work with them.
They work with them more than the head coach does. That's right. So I think they're fine with him, and I think that was Saturday. I think that was right by leaving him in.
And it kind of let's go to the NFL with Matt Schaub setting the NFL record for four pick sixes in a row. And I think you're right, Coach. If you take him out, you can't put him back in 3 weeks later if TJ Yates ain't getting it done. So you have to believe in that backup and say, okay, you have to go. You're going to be our guy, although he's made some mental mistakes, but he still clearly has more talent than T.J. Yates. And I think the same thing with Brandon Allen and A.J.
Right.
Derby.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Let's go to Cody and Searcy. Cody, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. Bielema was correct about this would be the fastest game we'll play. It was the fastest game to getting our butt handed to us. What was up with that freaking Florida player pulling in our guy, trying to get him out of the pile? I didn't
Williams.
Understand that crap. But and third, who in the crap played dirty this game? It sure the crap wasn't Arkansas.
No, so it was Florida.
From Florida saying Arkansas playing dirty. To me, dude, they were the one pushing, shoving, and just being ignorant.
They had three personal foul calls.
Thank you, Cody. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Yeah, they had one ejection, but then
they
said that on the bottom of that pile on the muff punt,
yes,
with a fair catch, that apparently they accused Jarrett Lake of spitting in the bottom of the pile.
You know, and you've been at the bottom of some of these piles. The stuff that goes on there, you can't say what they're going
to
try to get that ball.
Tell us.
I'm really
good. When the ball is free, when the ball is for grabs, stuff's going to go on.
What'd you do, Muskie?
That's the game.
I'd bite you. I'd poke my
finger.
Poke at the ribs, poke
bite.
At the eyes.
How do you bite with a face mask?
Catch your hands right down. Yeah. You can get your – let me tell you.
Twist face the mask, arm that has the ball.
Face
you do whatever.
Remember,
right.
We
didn't come
two
on
bars.
The two bars.
Yeah, yeah. Now they got three, four, six cages.
With the visor and everything.
Yeah.
You know, Muskie never wore a mouthpiece, so.
I wore tape.
What?
Just flip it over, then cut it in your mouth. Because we had to communicate. And them big mouthpieces were
back in the day.
Yeah, you couldn't get them really.
I know most players cut because let's say the mouthpiece is 4 inches or
that's
so.
Right.
They cut it down to like a half an inch and just put that right deep. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Plus, you remember back when you were playing, you go to the dentist and they'd mold you a mouthpiece and that old heavy stuff.
Right.
Couldn't even
that's
talk.
What I'm that's what I'm saying. You had to communicate in free safety. Here you're supposed to be in man and you're back there in a zone. Duh, we saw what happened to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cloud sky.
And speaking of the Razorbacks, that's one thing that I see is that free safety, that strong safety, your Ken Hamlin, your Tony Bua, your Kanoy Kennedy, your Steve Atwater, you got to have a guy back there getting everybody right. And I don't know if we have that right now.
And
he makes up for a lot of mistakes.
He does.
You know, I'm critical of my own position, and that was one position back there that – we had eight defensive backs at all time because, you're going to go down back there. And that's the first weakness that the coaching staff look at on the other team is if they see that cornerback go down and they don't see another they see a replacement come in, first thing they're going to do, they're going right at him.
Exactly. First place I look on film.
Yes.
And see if they got a tater over there.
Yes.
And there's a reason he's a backup for a reason.
That's right.
He's not as good as the starter.
Coach Rester has a great Matt Jones story. We'll get to it when we come back. We are at Rebsman Golf Course, Little Rock Central High School. Tiger Foundation's inaugural golf tournament is where we are. We'll be back with more Overtime after this on the Buzz Radio Network. Stay with us. Joined by Bob Bomar and also still the head coach of the Central High Tigers, Scooter Rester. And Coach Rester, you told us a Matt Jones story. You told Bob and I this story out on the golf course today and this morning. But you told Matt when he got here, and he remembers back to that trip that the Van Buren.
I blocked the field goal that game.
Well, he didn't tell us that.
I know that they beat his playoff game, and our starting safety got hurt that game, and I had to play safety that game, and I'm not going to hit anybody. So I was hoping they would.
You're not going to.
I was hoping they would throw the ball my way, but. Maybe it was Brendan O'Donohoe or something, and it was a longer field goal. And I blocked a field goal, and the ball was on the ground, and I, I hit it like that and then dived on it. And I remember the coach was saying something like, that's not right. You know, you can't hit the ball on purpose. Because if I couldn't get to it right there, somebody's about to get in, I kind of hit it out of the way or whatever.
Like a basketball player where the ball's in the court.
Now, that you can't do, right? But you can't bobble the punt and say, oh, okay, now you can
get
it.
Well, it was a fair catch. Yeah, right. And everybody's asked about the catch. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But, Coach, tell us the Matt Jones story.
Well, I mean, we knew going in that, that Matt was a junior at Van Buren, and we were playing him in El Dorado. And I don't know if it's the first round or second round, but I know it was a really good ball game until late, and then, you know, we were able to score there late and kind of open it up a little bit. But we knew Matt was a great athlete. And he was playing wide receiver for him, and, you know, we had a couple of guys that could play man coverage, but we were getting help over the top of the safety. And, you know, I told him the first time Matt runs a deep route, I said, just take him out, you know. And so he ran a fade pass. I remember this, you know, and James Hollingsworth, who ended up going to UCA and played 3 years up there at safety, you know, I think we got a penalty on the play. But anyway, what scared me was they put Matt in at quarterback, right? And the game was still close. It was like maybe 7-6, something like that. And they put Matt in at quarterback, and he ran the option to our sideline. And I said, oh, we're in trouble now. Because, I mean, it was a tight game, and he went about 30 or 35 out of bounds. But, you know, he only played a couple of downs at quarterback that half, and maybe got in a down or two the second half. And it was a really good game. That's the first time I'd seen Matt play, and I knew I'd heard about him. But certainly he ended up in transferring to Northside and had a great senior year and then went on to Arkansas. But, you know, it was a very competitive game. And really, for me, in 96, we had played Van Buren in the semifinals in a 7-inch rain at El Dorado when they ended up getting beat by winning the state championship. That was a really good team. Really.
Well, Kenny Sandlin, who played center.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lineman. We talked about this earlier before the show started, how there are players on the team or that aren't even playing that are better than some guys that go. And there was a better offensive lineman than Kenny Sandlin in high school but couldn't make the grades. You know, Nebraska offered him running that option style. But they had a great offensive line.
Yeah, and I mean that they just wore us down in that ball game. But it was sort of sweet revenge for us to get Van Buren back and play Matt. But a great game, and you know, both teams competed well.
And you can probably speak to this too. I mean, I know people watch the games on TV, and a guy can look fast on TV, and a guy can look fast on film or game tape that you're watching. But until you see them in person on the sidelines,
that's right.
You really don't know how fast they are.
Yeah. I knew Matt Jones was fast when I saw him run.
That day, yeah.
I knew he was fast.
Bob, the Tiger Foundation, what all have y'all been able to do so far to help out Little Rock Central High School?
Well, we started in December, and to date we've raised over $150,000 for Central. Variety of different things, from helping I know we had a donor give $32,000 for a mobile laptop computer lab. We've had donation, $36,000 donation. We were able to buy new helmets for the football team. We've been able to do some things for other sports, but it's gone a lot better than we thought when we started, but we're just glad that we have it and that we're able to help assist Central. So,
and if anybody wants to become a part of the Tiger Foundation, what do they need to do?
You can go to our website. It's lrchtigerfoundation.org. We wanted Tiger Foundation, but that's Tiger Woods' website. So lrchtigerfoundation.org, and our post office box is on there if you'd like to send a tax-deductible donation.
You could have had the Tiger Foundation, and then maybe some people that were looking for Tiger Woods would have found y'all and just decided, hey, maybe that's the one we need to get to.
Hey, that's a good idea. Maybe go get it and link it to ours or something.
Of course, you know, it took a Parkview Patriot to figure that out.
Yeah, right.
Got to throw in those jabs every now and then when I can.
Do they play football there?
No, but they've got plenty of basketball championships.
I know.
You want to start talking?
I know.
Let me just say one thing. This Tiger Foundation as a group has really energized the people at Central, and especially the help we got with the football helmets, but overall, and it's just energized the whole student body, the whole faculty. And I think, you know, today's times, you need something like this to really help course, you know, being in Central Arkansas, and we put our kids on a bus and we go to Northwest Arkansas and see what they've got there.
It's a different ball game.
It's a different ball game. It really is. And I think with the help of the foundation there, we're going to be able to, you know, have some things and be able to do some things that we normally wouldn't have been able to do.
And, Matt, you can speak about playing over that 7A West, because that's where, I mean, you were in the West when you played, but
the Bentonvilles, Rogers.
The Bentonvilles, yeah, Rogers, yeah. And you look at what they have now, and yes, it's totally different. I mean, Harbor's building a new football stadium. I mean, they've been playing where Springdale.
Well, and since I played, Springdale broke off, yeah. And Rogers.
Rogers.
And I think Bentonville maybe has a 10th grade center or something, but it seems like they're growing up there in the facilities.
Stayed, yeah. And Fayetteville
there.
Stayed. I mean, just the facilities are unreal. But one thing that I think people in Central Arkansas and those within our listening audience need to realize, too, you want the Razorbacks to be good, but it's going to take the athletics in Central Arkansas helping
Absolutely.
The Razorbacks, too. I mean, you think back to some of the players from Little Rock that have had the talent, that have been able to go up there, and I'm not just talking about in the private sector of schools, but if Little Rock Central has a team that is up there fighting for state championships year after year after year, those players are going to move on and go to Fayetteville and help the Arkansas Razorbacks become a better football team as well.
And I know you being in this area a lot longer, I've only been here for a couple years, but just growing up in the state, it seems maybe once every 5 years, there's like a number one, two, three running back in the nation comes out of this Little Rock area. So the talent's there. And Tenpenny goes to Alabama, Michael Dyer goes to Auburn, now McFadden. He was in the Little Rock, the central area, goes to Arkansas. So Cedric Cobbs, you know, the list goes on and on. Bashil Shabazz in this area. So there's always going to be talent there. It's just getting them out there on the field. Do you think that maybe more summer programs as far as 7-on-7 camps, or what would you have an idea to help get them out there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got 115 out at Central, and then we have right at 50 freshmen. So you've got to get them out. You've got to get them involved. And certainly, you know, we're involved in 7-on-7. We go to summer camps, and you've got to do that to expose these kids and keep them in. I mean, if you don't do that, you're going to be behind the eight ball. And I think, you know, Little Rock, we've got a new athletic director that's moving in that direction. Hired a new coach at McClellan, new coach at Hall. And he's going to try to energize this athletic program in Central Arkansas. And, you know, we're behind. There's no question about that. But and you've got to be involved in all those things that you mentioned. So it's going to be an uphill battle. But with the help of the foundation and programs like this and with new energy in the Little Rock School District and athletics, and superintendent, you know, has come out and said he's behind athletics. So I think we're going to see some real advances here in the next couple of years.
Scooter, we're up against it. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank
I know you got practice to get
Good luck to.
To
y'all, Coach.
Bob,
thanks
so
you,
much.
Matt.
And
good to see you.